Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the Sunny Side of Sports, Monday through Friday at 6.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Spain, where Real Madrid is hosting Bayern Munich this Tuesday evening in the decisive second leg of their UEFA Champions League football semifinal. Real holds a 2-1 advantage from last week's first leg in Munich, and recent history favors the Spanish club, which is bidding for a third consecutive European title and record-extending 13th overall. Real Madrid has won its last six matches against Bayern. Real's French manager Zinedine Zidane rested Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo and most of his regular starters in Madrid's 2-1 win against Leganés in Spain's La Liga on Saturday. Zidane says his club will have to put in a huge performance because Bayern, in his words, comes here with nothing to lose. Now, Bayern also rested a host of its top players on Saturday in the club's 4-1 Bundesliga victory over Eintracht Frankfurt. German striker Sandro Wagner of Bayern says, and I quote, "We swore that we'd throw everything into the return game against Real Madrid." Meanwhile, the Italian club Roma will host Liverpool of England on Wednesday in the return game of their UEFA Champions League semifinal. Liverpool holds a 5-2 advantage from the first leg. Roma's head coach, Eusebio Di Francesco, says his club has already shown it can come back from a 3-goal deficit. Roma did that against Barcelona in the quarterfinals. So now we'll wait and see if the Italian side can do it again against Liverpool. I'm sure the Roma defenders will have their eyes on Mohamed Salah, the Egyptian star who scored 2 goals for Liverpool in the first leg. And my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, will have more on Mo Salah a little later in the show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World football's governing body, FIFA, is advancing $2 million in prize money for each of Africa's 5 World Cup-bound teams to help them prepare for the big tournament in Russia. The advance payment has been warmly received by the Nigeria Football Federation and the Confederation of African Football, CAF. Nigeria Football Federation spokesman Ademola Olajire says the money will help avoid bonus disputes with players in Russia. Olajire says the federation has had problems at past tournaments, and the NFF has already worked out a payment plan for the team. Meanwhile, CAF says the money from FIFA will help all 5 of Africa's World Cup-bound teams, Egypt, Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, and Tunisia, prepare for Russia 2018. CAF President Ahmad says the money will be used to settle beforehand the question of bonuses due the players. Ahmad says disputes over payments at previous World Cups badly affected the image of African football and had a considerable impact on team performances. All 32 teams that qualified for the World Cup are scheduled to receive $1.5 million from FIFA in the form of a preparation fee, as well as a guarantee of a minimum of $8 million in prize money after the tournament ends. The team that lifts the World Cup trophy on July 15th in Moscow will receive $38 million. And speaking of that prize trophy, it's now in Russia as part of its global tour. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Yes, the trophy has landed in Russia. An airplane carrying the World Cup trophy arrived in the far eastern city of Vladivostok on Tuesday. The red carpet was rolled out onto the tarmac, and the World Cup delegation was warmly received during a welcoming ceremony. Among those in attendance was FIFA legend and 2002 World Cup winner Gilberto Silva, who spoke to reporters during the event.
Coming here with the trophy, too, is something amazing. And having the opportunity to grab the trophy again, what I can wish for the Russians, that they enjoy every moment of the competition, you know, since Russia was chosen, but enjoy everything, because one day when you remember this moment, it will be a smile on your face.
The World Cup trophy traveled to 50 countries before landing in Russia. The trophy will be delivered to 9 Russian cities ahead of the World Cup opening ceremony in Moscow. And speaking of which, we only have 44 days to go. So here is today's fun fact. 44 is the number of goals Poland has scored in its World Cup history. In case you're wondering, that is a rate of 1.4 goals per game. This year will mark Poland's 8th World Cup appearance. They play in Group H, along with Senegal, Colombia, and Japan. The World Cup kicks off on June 14th. In more soccer news, Liverpool forward Mo Salah recently showcased his megastar power on and off the field. On Sunday, a commercial dispute between Salah and soccer officials in his native Egypt was swiftly resolved following an intervention from Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Mo Salah was insulted that his image was prominently featured on the outside of the national's team plane without his permission. The image was sponsored by the telecommunications firm WE. Salah has his own sponsorship deal with rival company Vodafone. Board members of the Egyptian Football Association were summoned, and they agreed to meet Salah's demands. Youth and Sports Minister Khaled Abdelaziz later wrote on Twitter, "I assure everyone that we will stand by Salah to honor all contracts he entered in England." Ahead of Sunday's resolution, hundreds of thousands of fans declared their unwavering support for Salah against the Federation, using the Arabic hashtag, "I support Mohamed Salah." Well, Salah felt the love, and on Sunday he tweeted a direct message to his fans, writing, "I want to thank everyone for your support today. In fact, your response was extraordinary, and your interaction made me very happy." Mo Salah will lead Egypt in this year's World Cup, the country's first appearance at the tournament since 1990. Egypt will play in Group A, along with Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay. Now, you may know last year Salah was voted the 2017 African Footballer of the Year. Last month, he was named the 2017-2018 Professional Footballers Association Player of the Year. Well, this just in. On Tuesday, it was announced Mo Salah had been voted the Football Writers Association Footballer of the Year. Salah becomes the first African winner of the prestigious FWA award since it was established in 1948. The trophy ceremony will be held at the landmark London on May 10th. What a ride he is on. Sonny, I will hand it back over to you. How about that Mo Salah?
Mighty Mo Salah, what a ride. Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now from the western U.S. city of Oakland, California, is Tim Bontemps. Tim covers the National Basketball Association for the Washington Post newspaper. Tim, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it. When the playoffs tipped off, Tim, the NBA announced that a record number of international players competing in the postseason. Could you pick out maybe two or three who you think really stood out during the first round?
To start with, you know, the Utah Jazz managed to knock off the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round, and Rudy Gobert was a huge part of that, French center. You know, he's arguably the best, you know, defensive player in the league, you know, 7'3". I think he's got a 9'2" standing reach, and, you know, he was able to really give the Thunder a lot of trouble. You know, Russell Westbrook, Oklahoma City star guard, whenever he was on the court with Gobert, he really had no chance at the rim and kept pulling up for these jump shots that were not going to go in. And, you know, that was a big part of why the Jazz were able to win that series and advance to the second round of the playoffs. And, you know, really the other team that was kind of the surprise story of the first round was the Philadelphia 76ers. They've really been the surprise story of the season. And both Ben Simmons, their star, you know, rookie point guard, and Joel Embiid, their center, from, you know, Ben Simmons is from Australia and Joel Embiid is from Cameroon. The two of them both, you know, had really impressive first rounds. Embiid came back from a facial injury after a couple games and helped the Sixers win in five games. And they're now heavy favorites to beat the Boston Celtics in the conference semifinals and make it to at least the conference finals, which is a pretty remarkable story given they have, you know, essentially two rookies as their two best players.
So do you like the Sixers in that series against the Celtics, Tim?
Yeah, for sure. Boston has a ton of injuries. If it was a healthy Boston team and a healthy Philly team, I think you'd probably favor the Celtics. But with, you know, at least, you know, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving out, with Jaylen Brown with a hamstring injury, I mean, the Celtics just really banged up. And I think it's going to be hard for them to beat a Philly team that's got a ton of talent as it is and is really firing on all cylinders right now.
Joel Embiid, he's had his share of injuries in his young NBA career. Where do you rate him right now, Tim, in terms of the big men in the NBA?
I'm not sure exactly where he is on the list, but, I mean, just overall among players in the league, he's got to be among the top 10 or 12 in the league. I mean, when you look at his ability at both ends of the court, particularly on defense, I mean, he's such a massive presence inside, truly imposing figure, and, you know, wreaks a lot of havoc. You combine that with the fact that he can shoot out to the three-point line, he can put the ball on the floor, he can post up on anybody. He's a really special talent and has a chance to be, you know, one of the dominant players in the league for a long time. Like you said, assuming he can avoid the injury problems that plagued him the first couple of years of his career.
Two games on Tuesday night. The top-seeded Toronto Raptors will take on LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. How do you see that series, Tim?
I think the Cavs will probably win. I know they obviously had a rough first-round series with the Pacers, only won in seven games, but I think that at the end of the day, you know, LeBron has beaten the Raptors so many times, LeBron James, that I think he's in their heads. And, you know, Toronto was, again, you know, they won in six games in the first round against the Wizards, but they did not look incredibly impressive in doing so. And, you know, I think it's, you know, they need to prove that they can play on a level with LeBron when they, you know, they got drummed out of the playoffs, you know, two of the last 3 years against them in relatively easy fashion. So I think the Cavs will find a way to win just because you can't really bet against LeBron James. But, you know, the Cavs are a pretty weak roster, and if they don't have the juice to get it done, it certainly wouldn't be a shot because, as anybody who watched the Cavs-Pacers series could see, Cleveland just doesn't have a lot of players around LeBron right now, and they are vulnerable if the right team, you know, is able to take advantage of that.
Also Tuesday night, the defending champion Warriors will host the New Orleans Pelicans. The Warriors won the opener of that series, 123-101. How about an update on Steph Curry, Tim?
He should be playing in game two. He's almost all the way back from the sprained MCL. The Warriors, like you said, won by 22 without him. You know, getting him back in the lineup should only help. And, you know, as long as he's healthy and ready to go, that gives them a week or so to get him fully ready to go for what should be a pretty interesting Western Conference Finals against probably the Houston Rockets. For the right to go to a four straight NBA Finals. You know, Golden State is rounding into form at the right time. They didn't really have much interest during the regular season, as you can understand, given the amount of games they played over the last 3 years. But they look like a different team against the Spurs, and they definitely look like a different team in game one against the Pelicans. And if they keep up that intensity level, it should be a pretty short series.
Wednesday night, we'll have game two in the series between the Rockets and the Utah Jazz. The Rockets won the opener 110-96. You mentioned Rudy Gobert for the Jazz, Tim. Can he be a force in that series?
He wasn't much of one in game one, but I think he has the potential to be as it goes along. It was always going to be hard for Utah to win that game in Houston about 36 hours after their series with the Thunder ended in a pretty physical game six. They were going to be gassed. The Rockets were rested. That was always a game that Houston was probably going to win. To me, tonight, that game on Wednesday is going to determine whether that is a good series or not. If Utah can win that game or even have it be really competitive down to the end, when they go back home to Salt Lake City into the altitude, they're going to have a chance to make that a series. If they get beat handily like they did in game one, also in game two, might just be a matter of them not being able to score enough to keep up with Houston, no matter how good their defense is. So I'm very curious to see how game two goes and to see if the Jazz can, make this interesting, because I do think they're capable of it. But they did lose Ricky Rubio to a hamstring injury at the end of game six against Oklahoma City, and not having him, is a really good ball, shot creator on a team that doesn't have a lot of guys who could do that. And it could be a real detriment against a Rockets team that's as explosive as any in the NBA.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Tim Bontemps, who covers the NBA for the Washington Post newspaper. Tim, James Harden, 41 points for the Rockets in Game 1. Is he your pick for League Most Valuable Player?
Yeah, he was the best player in the league, I thought, this season. He had a remarkable year and was playing on the team that finished with the best record. So, usually the guy with the best season for the team with the best record is the favorite to win that award. And I think, given James has been close the last couple of years and come up short, I think the way he's played this year, coupled with the way Houston played, I think makes him a really easy choice to win MVP this season.
If the Rockets advance and take on the Warriors, Tim, how do you see that backcourt matchup, Harden and Chris Paul against Steph Curry and Klay Thompson?
If the Warriors are better, their guys are better. Steph is a more explosive version even of what Harden is when he's going, and Klay Thompson is big enough to be able to guard either of those guys and still be one of the best shooters in the league. And I think Golden State, for as good as Houston is, Golden State, really sleptwalked through the regular season and won 58 games. I mean, they're going to be locked in. They're not worried about playing in Houston. So, the backcourts will be a fun matchup, but I think when you factor in Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, being on the Warriors combined with Andre Iguodala and some of the other pieces that Golden State has, I think they would still be, in my opinion, pretty heavy favorites to win that series and make it back to the finals again.
Finally, Tim, the NBA said they had record attendance during the regular season. What's your sense during the playoffs, at least through one round? Is the NBA still on the uptick in terms of fan appeal?
Yeah, this was one of the best first rounds in a long time. There was a lot of really exciting games and a lot of drama. As you saw, some of the series go long. You saw LeBron James nearly get knocked out. There was a lot of twists and turns along the way. The Thunder with Russell Westbrook and Paul George got eliminated. There was a lot of stuff that happened that people could pay attention to, and I think it's only going to increase from here with the potential for a Rockets-Warriors conference finals, with the way the Sixers are playing, with the Cavs still around. There's a lot of reason to pay attention. I think the NBA overall is in a very good place and should feel good about the direction the league is going in.
Tim Bontemps covers the NBA for the Washington Post newspaper. Thank you, Tim.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Tim Bontemps mentioned how the Philadelphia 76ers have been firing on all cylinders. Well, the Boston Celtics slowed them down a bit in Game 1 of their second-round NBA playoff series. The Celtics beat the visiting Sixers 117-101. Guard Terry Rozier led the Celtics with 29 points. Now, 21 of Terry's points came from long range, as he made 7 of his 9 three-point attempts. At the post-game news conference, Terry Rozier was asked whether perimeter shooting will be one of the keys in the series.
Sometimes you just got to read what the defense give you. I was sometimes getting to the hole, trying to be aggressive, creating for myself or others. Sometimes you knock down a couple shots, and then, the rim looks super big. So, just trying to stay aggressive, whether it's shooting, being outside the perimeter, are, you know, getting to the basket, being aggressive. And that's for all of us. You know, we got a lot of great shooters. We got our four men that can stretch the floor and stuff like that. So, you know, we just got to pay attention to how the defense, read the defense, what they give us.
Overall, Terry Rozier and the Celtics were very effective from the perimeter, making 17 of their 36 three-point shots. Philadelphia, meanwhile, struggled from the three-point line, making only 5 of 26 long-range shots. Rozier comments on what the Celtics did on defense.
First thing we was getting back on, try to limit their transition. Simmons got them guys playing very well, and they when they push the pace, and you know they get on run, they look for the three, and things like that. So we try to take that away. We just being active, not letting Bellinelli get no looks, not letting JJ Redick get no clean looks. Just causing problems. Being active on the ball, off the ball. So we got each other's back, and we just being long, and it helps us.
Meanwhile, Philadelphia's young star center from Cameroon, Joel Embiid, scored 31 points and grabbed 13 rebounds in Game 1. At the post-game news conference, Embiid was asked what adjustments his team will need to make ahead of Game 2 on Thursday night in Boston.
I thought they played really well. They made a lot of shots. We didn't. And then defensively, we weren't like ourselves. But next game, we just got to be aggressive and, play tough defensively.
That's Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. Philadelphia will play the host Boston Celtics on Thursday night in Game 2 of their second-round NBA playoff series. The Celtics won Game 1, 117-101, on Monday night. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. By the way, Boston and Philadelphia have a very proud history of meetings in the NBA playoffs with great players like Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, and Julius Dr. J. Irving suiting up for the Celtics and the Sixers. This marks the 20th time Boston and Philadelphia have played each other in the postseason. More basketball news. The NBA's all-time leading scorer, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, tried his feet at dancing. Not his hand, his feet at dancing. 71-year-old Kareem says, "I might have old feet, but I do have dancing feet." Kareem appeared on the entertainment show Dancing with the Stars, and he began his dancing routine with one of his patented shots, the Sky Hook. You should check out the video if you get the chance. Dancing with the Stars. I'm not quite sure that Kareem is going to win the competition, but I give him credit for appearing on Dancing with the Stars. And while the Boston Celtics are getting a lot of attention right now in the city of Boston, so is another sports star from Boston, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. The 5-time Super Bowl champion has confirmed he will return to play another season in the National Football League. Brady is 40 years old. He appeared at a global conference, the Milken Institute Global Conference in California, where he grew up. And Brady said that his goal is to continue his National Football League career into his mid-40s. And that wraps up the May 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Aiden Utko. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is committed to maintaining its long-standing position as a global leader on humanitarian issues. We understand the importance and necessity of humanitarian assistance, even as we work to preclude the crises that spawn the need for assistance, said Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan. By helping those who bear the brunt of war, natural disaster, or the failure of good governance and policy, we preserve that chance for a more prosperous and more peaceful world for generations to come. The United States is the single largest donor of international humanitarian assistance. In 2017 alone, we delivered more than $8 billion in life-saving aid around the world. Nonetheless, the need for humanitarian aid is ever increasing and changing. Just a decade ago, 80% of our humanitarian assistance went to victims of natural disaster. Now, natural disaster relief accounts for only about 20%. 80% of aid goes to victims of disasters caused by humans. Much of that is due to carnage inflicted on civilian populations by terrorist groups such as ISIL and Al-Qaeda, or due to vicious conflicts such as those in Libya, Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. What's clear is that one government or one entity can't tackle these issues alone. As we continue this humanitarian leadership, we will also continue to emphasize the importance of coordinated, effective, and efficient international responses, as well as the need for other governments and other actors in the private sector to step in to contribute to humanitarian efforts, said Deputy Secretary of State Sullivan. A global response with increasing financial support of multiple nations and groups is essential to effectively moving more help to the many who are in need and to ensure a greater regional stability across the globe, he declared. Nonetheless, despite our best efforts, most of these crises, conflicts, and natural disasters are not going to stop anytime soon. Most will ultimately require a diplomatic solution, results that we are working toward each and every day. But, said Deputy Secretary of State Sullivan, until those solutions arrive, you can count on the United States to help everyone where we can to alleviate suffering and save lives.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.